Welcome to Que es el Cafecito, the podcast where we talk all things culture over some nice cafecito. I'm Yvette Cruz.
And I'm Sean Caranas.
And today we're discussing anti-blackness and racism in the Latino community. This is actually the first episode that we've done in months due to COVID-19, which is still an ongoing situation.
Yes.
We have been working from home for months now, and we haven't been able to get back into the studio, but we wanted to have this important conversation. So we're doing this impromptu recording with impromptu equipment so that we can address racism and anti-blackness in the Latino community.
Yes, and it's good to be back. It's good to see you again, Yvette. And, you know, obviously a lot has changed since March 5th, I believe, was the last time that we had posted something.
Yes.
We'll get to that at some point. But as you said, I don't use this word lightly, but this is critical as far as this information, like everything that's been going on these last 2 weeks in particular, is really critical and action is needed. And originally we're going to obviously talk about COVID and everything like that, but this right now takes precedent over that.
Yeah, if you have been paying attention, whether on social media or on the news, then you know that there have been nationwide protests for over a week now to decry racism and police brutality following the death of George Floyd, a black man who died at the hands of police in Minneapolis. I think there's many conversations to be had around what has been happening, what happened, and what is happening now as a result of everything. And there's many actions to be taken. For some people, that is protesting on the streets, as we've seen. For other people, it is speaking out on social media. I think for us right now, what we want to focus on in this podcast episode is how we can call out anti-blackness, and racism in our community. So this conversation is going to be uncomfortable for some people, I think. But I, like you said, Joel, it's imperative that we have it. So let's get into it. I guess I want to start off with Latinos who think that Latinos can't be racist because they're Latinos, because they're a minority, because they're brown. And we know that not all Latinos are brown. We should know. But there are Latinos who say that Latinos can't be racist because we're minorities, we're brown.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? What's your response?
For me, I'm like, I'll keep it very mildly because I would be like, what is wrong with you? I would obviously go like that, but it actually scares me a little bit because it's like we are just turning a blind eye to the idea of like just because my parent is from insert country here, wherever, that doesn't mean that I can't see racism within my own race or I can't see that or it's impossible. It's like that's flawed. That's terrible logic. It doesn't make any sense. And the sad part is it happens all the time. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of nuestra gente that feel like that, that maybe we see it because this is how it's always been, or this is how, you know, I was raised, or I saw it like this, and et cetera, or whatever. We just kind of play it off almost. And I never have heard anybody really take it seriously and be like, okay, we actually need to have a discussion on the fact that we're actually being racist when we are referring to Miguel, who's a little bit darker skinned, as El Negro, or whatever, et cetera, things like that. I don't recall anybody, at least when I growing up, like saying, you know what, let's stop everything. We need to talk about that because that's not cool. Maybe it's happening now. That would be great. Would I put all my money on it? Probably not, because for whatever reason, nuestra cultura, we have this, part of me wants to get it because like, okay, I get it. Like we see it in countries that some people you'll call, you know, you call it el moreno or you'll call this or like that. And for whatever reason, we just think it's kind of okay, and we don't think it's actually what are we actually saying when we call so-and-so, oh, ese es negro, ese es la negra, or ese es like this. I know some people see it as a term of endearment. Some people will consider it like that. And there's some people who embrace it. Even if they are darker skinned, they will embrace it. They'll keep that nickname. And that's their personal choice if they want to keep it, if they're not offended by it. For me, it just makes me uncomfortable because I feel like I would be contributing to the issue by just going along with it and saying that like it's okay, it's not okay. Why aren't we having more talks about it? I don't know if it's just the quote-unquote taboo thing. I know there's a lot of taboo things in every culture, right? You know, Latinos aren't any different, but I don't know why. Maybe it's the older generation can't have that conversation because for them it's what they've known, but for us maybe who are a little bit more younger, maybe, you know, we're born in this country, have interacted more maybe with different cultures, because a lot of times if you know, if your parents are from a certain country, they're probably just dealing with a lot of their people, you know, to an extent, or other Latinos. Like if they're from Guatemala, they're probably dealing with, you know, Guatemaltecos and maybe a Hondureño here or there, but they're not necessarily interacting with people from Europe or from Africa or from et cetera. But for us in this country, we get that a little bit more, especially depending on where you live in the country, some more places than others. It really leads to us having to have those conversations, and they seem weird and they seem like uncomfortable. I'm just even imagining right now how would it be if I had certain members of my family, not all of them, but certain members of my family, to sit down with them and have this. It would probably be A, uncomfortable, and B, they'd probably just brush it off and be like, this is what it is.
But do you think that they would, and maybe like whatever family members you're thinking of or just people in general, do you think that they would be like, yeah, I'm racist, I think this is better than this? Or you think they'd be like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Like they deny it or try to defend themselves? Because I think there's definitely both. I think there's people in our community who are outright racist and anti-Black, and you hear the way that they talk about people who are darker skinned, people who are within our community darker skinned, and about Black people. Mm-hmm. And then you also see how they act. You see how they, I mean, even the things that they say, you've heard the phrase, tenemos que mejorar la raza, the epitome of anti-Blackness, because when you're saying that, which translation for some is basically roughly translated to better, like, we have to make the race better, and by race, you're basically saying we have to lighten up the race, we have to make sure that our people are lighter versus darker. That is complete anti-Blackness, that is saying one is good and one is bad. Mm-hmm. And I think, so there's that kind of Black, their anti-Blackness, and then there's the brushing it off. We're like, no, I'm not racist because I'm brown, so I can't be racist. Even though I can say racist things and I can adopt racist attitudes or attitudes of white supremacy, and what, just be completely blind to it?
I feel personally, and I'll just say this, for the people that I'm thinking about in my mind, most of them are the kind of brushing off, like, no, I'm a Latina, you know, it's, you know, it's whatever, estamos jugando, estamos una broma, or it's this or whatnot, but they're kind of really not joking. But there's like two or three that I would say, yeah, they really just don't like Black. They just don't. And I've heard people say mejorar la raza. Yeah. I can remember even one time it's a Ecuadorian couple. I won't mention obviously their names, but the Ecuadorian couple, and they have three daughters. The mom once said about one of the daughters that, like, yeah, when she gets older, ojalá que se case con un blanco para que tú sabes pueda mejorar la raza and all the stuff. And for me, like, I think I was like 13 maybe. I just kind of was like, oh, okay, yeah, I know, that's what they say. I mean, obviously I wasn't woke, I was just barely like a teenager, but I kind of accepted it. That's, now looking back at it, I'm like, no, like, terrible.
Young, you didn't question it, you didn't know how, because I think in a lot of homes it's not taught to call that stuff out.
Yeah,
you're just kind of supposed to, maybe, and some people do, but I think in some homes is you just kind of either go with the flow, or you avoid confrontation, or you adopt the same way of thinking.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who don't adopt the same way of thinking, and there's that goes for something. But then I think there's also a difference. I hear this a lot right now, especially there's a difference between you not being racist and then you being anti-racist.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just not racist, but they're not anti-racist because they let comments like that slide.
That's a good point.
I should say we, because I'm sure we've all done it. Mm-hmm. Let comments slide. Maybe you don't think that. Maybe you don't agree with it, but you let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of anti-Blackness, we've talked about this before in other episodes, but just look at novelas. The novelas that our tías and our abuelas or whoever, the novelas that they watch, the people cast in these novelas, they all tend to either be white or close to white, or just the lighter, and this is quote unquote, like in terms of novelas, like the lighter the better is how they portray it. When do you see, and I haven't watched novela since I was a kid, so I don't know what they are like now, but I'm almost sure that nothing has changed.
They seem the same, at least from commercials.
Yeah, they seem the same, more extravagant or whatever, but when have you seen a Black Latino, because there are Black Latinos,
yes,
when have you seen a Black Latino as the lead? Not even just like one, but like as, you know, more, like in more and more roles, you know, in the lead and then in the what is it called, the supporting role, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't see that, like that's one of the examples. It's just mainly there, and I don't know how long novelas have been around, but as other forms of media progress, it seems like the forms of media that our community is watching does not progress.
Yeah.
So their thinking can't progress.
Even if I think about it right now, when you talk about novelas, like, if you were to say who's gonna play the maid in some novela,
exactly.
it's gonna be a black woman. I'm not saying it should be, or I'm not saying I agree with it, but they're probably gonna pick a black woman. Mm-hmm. Or if there's gonna be a villain, he might be a white villain, but there might be an element that he has a black sidekick. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of element always there. And you know, for the most part, I think of, for example, and I'm not trying to call out these two countries, but these are two countries that make a lot of novelas. Like you think of like Mexico, and mm-hmm. you think of like even Brazil. Obviously, Brazil, like, you know, they talk about they're a different language, but they're still part of our, you know, they're still part of our brothers and sisters. But the majority, from what I've seen, even with the Brazilian ones, like even in passing by, like, because I know Ecuador, like my mom watches a lot of Equavisa, and they have a lot of like those Brazilian translated ones. Mm-hmm. Like the hero is always white, the damsel in distress, if you will, is white.
The rich person.
Yeah, the rich person. Yeah. The
educated person. Yeah. Like
the maid is usually black, or the driver is usually black, or there's always a black character that brings in humor, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That brings in almost like a, I'm not gonna say it's a minstrel show. It's not gonna go that far, but it's definitely the humor of it, mm-hmm. and it's almost a play of like they're kind of just goofy.
Yeah.
I know it happens in Ecuador. I can say that for sure because I've seen a little bit of those Ecuadorian novelas, and they always have the darker skinned person be the joke winner. There's the one that who mops, and then he slips and falls, and everybody's like, "Oh, you know, Hernan, you know, that's typical Hernan," or whatever. And we may, or maybe not we, some people may not see that as, oh, they're just not being racist. Maybe they're
they
not being flat that. Out being racist. Maybe they're not telling you that I'm a racist, but they're saying, but. Do you know what I mean? Subliminally,
yeah,
just
I know,
saying
I know.
That message.
I think there's also, okay, so there's also, I think when we think of racism, I've seen this graphic shared a lot on social media, but when you think of racism, think of it as an iceberg. There's the top, like the very top of the iceberg, what you can see over water, and I think that's blatant racism. That is people who would say horrible things or who would not let a black person into their home or just, yes, that, but also they think of racism as that. So they think of slavery or they think of segregation. They think that that is racism, and because they would not participate in those acts, they are not racist. That's how they view it, some people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to think of the underneath, like everything underneath that iceberg, which is like 10 times bigger than that little tip you see at the top,
mm-hmm.
all of these other things, anti-blackness or microaggressions or the things that you say, like mejora la raza, or when you've probably heard this, like Latinos telling other Latinos to put on sunblock so they don't get too dark, so they don't get prietos. That's
mm-hmm.
a word that I hear too. Like
mm-hmm.
that, all that stuff that's contributing to anti-blackness. And I think people just don't want to acknowledge it because they think, no, well, I'm not racist, but like I think all these things, or I like say all these things, or I think this is better. Oh, this reminds me, I saw this video, it was heartbreaking. I don't even remember. I saw it on social media. I don't even know who shared it, to be honest, but I think it was made in Mexico. I don't know when it was made, but it is, they have two dolls. They have a white doll and a black doll, like little baby dolls sitting
mm-hmm.
there, and they bring in kids and they ask kids questions like, which doll is prettier?
Yeah.
Which doll is good? Which doll is bad? Like, what, and if you, obviously because of the topic of the conversation, you know where I'm going with this. Like,
yeah.
Kids all answered, which one is prettier? They said the white one. Which one is bad? They would say the black one. And when they would ask them, like, and this was all in Spanish, by the way, but when they would ask them why is that one good or bad? Like, the kids didn't flat out say, I think with the bad, like, when they said, why was the doll bad? I don't think they flat out said because of the color of their skin, but it's internalized
mm-hmm.
because when they asked why the doll was good or why the doll was prettier, they'd be like, oh, but they have, you know, pretty eyes. They have the blue eyes, or they have skin. And so that was heartbreaking. And then at the very end, they started asking the kids, like, which doll do you think you look more like?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, some of them, they varied. Some of them were a little darker skin. Some of them were lighter. But the kids, that's when they didn't answer the question quickly. And maybe it's editing, who knows, but the kids had to think about it.
Right.
And figure out, which doll do I look more like? And then think back to what they said about the doll.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was more to this video and more explanation. I like I said, I don't know a lot. But that's happening. Like, that's been happening. It's internalized in us. It's in our history. And I think a lot of people refuse to acknowledge that. I mean, I think I read somewhere, because I still have to do a lot of research as well.
Mm-hmm.
Learning as well, but I read that, and we know this is true, that our ancestors, they survived through like whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
The whiter you were, the more likely you were to survive or to make it ahead. Like there was this study that I was looking at, and I apologize, I cannot remember. But right. basically, yeah, your proximity to whiteness is what helped you survive, what helped you thrive. Mm-hmm. That is still something today because of like with the dolls, like. You hear people say like, oh, mira que bonita, mira que bonito, mira tiene los ojos azules, or like, you know what, that's cool. If that's what you like, that's cool. But for people to think and then to teach their children and then for those children to learn, to go their whole life thinking that and then teach their children, like this is internalized in our culture, in our history.
You know, one thing that I always remember that even to this day I think about, it might not have started off as something racist, but to me it lends itself to something racist. What do in some countries and some of the países they call really curly hair?
Pelo malo.
Pelo malo. But, exactly. But why is it malo?
Exactly.
Why is it malo?
I mean, it's not. But yeah, it's meant to because of its proximity to blackness.
Right.
Exactly.
Pelo malo. Like yeah. I heard that pelo malo. Like and you know a product that's sold a lot. Like you see a lot of stores. Get the relaxer. Get the relaxer. Mm-hmm. Straighten it out because that's quote unquote pretty yeah. or that's supposed to be that. Don't have pelo malo. Have pelo, you know, whatever. Just have it all straightened out.
Yeah.
You know, even some people with skin bleaching.
Yes.
You know, I haven't seen it as far as, like, either a family member or a friend's, like, necessarily use it. But I'm sure in nuestros países, that's got to be. I know in the, I'm not Dominican, but from what I've read, I know in Dominican Republic, it does get very popular. They're more Afro-Latino roots, and so they're a little bit more dark-skinned. But skin bleaching is very popular. I mean, and I'm sure people would bring up like Sammy Sosa. If you see Sammy Sosa from 1998 compared to Sammy Sosa now, he's changed colors. He's changed colors. I mean, that could be said. And, you know, maybe he had his reason. And it might be. I'm not saying it is, but it might. I'm just trying to guess. Maybe he just felt like, you know what? I would be a little bit more accepted if I had changed, if I changed up a little bit. For whatever reason, and to each his own. Like that's as long as he didn't hurt anybody, then you know he can do what he wants. But it's a shame that if that's what he thought, and so many other people that buy those skin bleaching creams and use them for a year to try to you know shed some of their darkness, are we? I mean, I guess I ask you, what do you? I guess I'm trying to ask, what do you think the mindset would be? Is it? They're not ashamed of their culture, are they? They're just ashamed of the skin. Is it just that easy? Is that easy of an answer?
Because
it kind of feels like you're being almost ashamed of the culture. If you have some sort of skin issue, that's one thing for a health reason. But if you're, I don't know. I guess I just see it.
Yeah, maybe it's the way that they identify the culture, like because we know Latinos come in all shades and sizes and whatever. But Latinos do not; they're not a monolith, physically or any other way. So we have white Latinos, we have brown Latinos, we have black Latinos, we have Latinos in between every single one of those categories. And so, I don't think you should identify your culture to a color. Well, let me take that back because some people are proud they're Afro-Latinos and they love the color of their skin and as they should and some others are different colors and they're okay with that. But I think it's got to be, and I don't know his state of mind, but I guess other people, it's the way that we tell them, like the way that we tell them, well, it's what we tell them is good and what's bad, what's attractive and what's not, what's desirable and what will make you come off a certain way to people. That's like I said, it's internalized. It's what we are telling people. I don't think it's the culture per se. I might be wrong, but I think it's how they're how they're attaching the culture to the color. If right. that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say like I think another thing that we don't think about as much, or maybe other people who have these tendencies that like say these things maybe don't think about is we both saw a video on Patriot Act online with Hassan, and he was talking about Asian culture because he is Southeast Asian, I think, or South Asian roots. But even talking about the idea of like, you know, for the most part, we support our black, whether it's black athletes or black success, anything. And he let off a list of like what we do celebrate. But if we were to bring somebody home that is black, or if we were to associate with something like that, it turns, the conversation gets different. Then it's like, now we're not sure. And I know in my family, like distant relatives, I definitely, when I was younger, I would see that conversation like, oh, está saliendo con un moreno. But in this tone of like it's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like they would say like to about a cousin, like back in whatever 1990 or whatever, I was just looking, but like that's Selena Gomez, and they whispered it too.
Yeah,
they would whisper it. I don't know, like you might as well just say it out loud.
Right.
Like don't need to whisper it.
No, because then it'll be true.
Right, or it's like, or maybe they see it as shameful, so they have to whisper.
Okay, but see that right there, that is racist.
Yes,
that is. We need to call out what that is, because yes, why isn't someone of a darker color, someone who's black, why aren't they good enough to be a part of your family, to break bread with you? Like that right there is racism. You can be like, no, I'm not racist because I don't know. No, if you don't view them the same way you would view someone your color or your culture or whatever, that is racist.
Yeah, and I think we see it even not just with people who are African American, even with nuestra cultura. I mean, could be somebody who is, you know, let's say you're Argentine. A lot of Argentines are fair-skinned, you know, especially in the Buenos Aires area. But if you're Argentino and then maybe for whatever reason you see somebody who's maybe a little bit darker-skinned, or your sister is dating somebody who's darker-skinned, depending on how you were raised or depending on what you think, you may not like that, even though they are part of your same country. They are Argentino or just like you, or Ecuadoriano just like you, or Mexicano just like you. But it's because of their color of skin. It's like, you know what, I don't like my daughter, or I don't like whatever, I don't like my sister. My sister's dating him. Or whatever, even though they grew up just like you. They just happen to have a different color skin.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily even just
outside
of African, like not just towards African Americans. It's towards even our own gente.
Yeah, that's the anti-blackness, because like of the proximity to blackness. Like, you know, maybe not a black, actual black person or a black Latino, but just a darker skinned person, their proximity is closer to black. And so that's when I think I'm seeing it as anti-blackness. And that's rooted in white supremacy. Like, we as Latinos feel like we're mistreated by Anglos sometimes. Then why is it okay for us to mistreat anybody who's darker than what we have deemed desirable? That's white supremacy. That's saying that one race, the white race, whether you're white American or white Latino, whatever, that is saying that that is better than everything else, that is superior, that is
it's such a hypocritical thing, because we'll, if we get treated badly at some place because we felt like, oh, that white lady looked at me weird or something like that, but then I have this thought, or I have these ideas, or I believe that, oh, ese moreno de brother, like this, like, A, hypocritical, but B, I should just shut up. You know, I should just shut up and not say anything, or at least get educated, because I'm not helping out. I'm just thinking, oh, is this just a white against Latino thing or whatnot? No, it's not just a white against Latino thing, or it's not a black. It involves all of us, and we may not think that if I just call somebody this, or I just call it with endearments of el negro, or I call it this or whatnot. You know, mate, in the past, it wasn't acceptable, but people accepted it. You know, it shouldn't have been accepted, but people accepted it. Now it's not acceptable. I guess I'm trying to figure out what is it going to take for it to change with nuestra cultura, because I feel like, I don't know if it's just it just makes us feel better about our own circumstance that some people do that, or I don't know if it is, oh, it's part of nuestra cultura. This is how we always done it, and as I mentioned earlier, there's some people who laugh it off. Maybe they're just trying not to, you know, they don't want any. Yeah, but it is a problem. It is a problem. And
yeah.
I don't know how we're going to begin to solve it other than like what we're doing now with the conversations. My concern is always for, let's say, the people who are maybe a little bit older, who maybe saw a little bit more in the, you know, 50s, 60s, like even in this country as well. I'm not saying that. Obviously, racism is still around, unfortunately. But I could see it being tougher for older people just because they might be a little bit more stubborn. But that doesn't mean that we should just give up and be like, well, we can't help them, because that's just who they are. I think that's the easy way out to say that.
Yeah, I think as millennials, I think our generation, I could be wrong, but it seems like our generation and generations beyond us, so millennials, Gen Z, anyone to come, it seems like we are a little more, and not all of us, but it seems like our generation is the first, I don't want to say first, but our generation is a little more aware of these things, and our generation is not only, well, again, kind of generalizing, but I'm talking about specific people here, but our generation is more aware of these things, is a little more educated because we have social media. We can learn a lot on social media because we have, the internet is different for us than it was for our parents, and we have more resources available in some senses. And so we are a little more or we can't, we are, and then we can get a little more educated about this topic. And whereas our, you know, family members who are older and beyond, maybe didn't have the same resources. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't have the same circles. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of our parents, especially the ones who immigrated here, it's not like they branched out. And I mean, and some of them, I guess, it's not like they branched out and made friends with, I mean, some of them didn't even speak English. And so there's that. They stuck with their own people. They stuck in their own communities, or they stayed silent because they didn't want to ruffle any feathers. They didn't want to get, be put in a situation where maybe police would show up, or maybe, or would they think police would show up, or, you know, they were scared. A lot of them were scared, and then they stuck to their own communities. Us, especially our first generation, I'm Mexican American. I know you're Ecuadorian American. So first generations, we had more access, and we did branch out. We grew up here, and so we did, those of us who were able to, we were able to branch out and learn different things and know people for who they were, all that stuff. So I think, I don't know that we can convince our older relatives that they're racist and that it's wrong, or that it's wrong because they may already know that they're racist, but I think we have to try. I think it's our responsibility to be that vessel of information for them, to call them out, to not laugh things off,
yeah,
and say, well, that's just my tío Tomás. He's just, that's just who he is. Like, no, call your tío Tomás out. We all need to do that. I need to do that. You need to do that. We all need to call them out, and not just call them out and be like, tío, that's racist, but like sit them down and be like, this is why that's racist. This is what's happening in this country. This is what's been happening in this country, and it hasn't changed, and you're okay with it, tío? Like, that's okay with you?
It's true. And we also have to be ready for some people who are just going to brush it off. Even if we have a half hour talk with that tío, he may just be like, okay, ya, está bien, acabaste, and that's it, and I'm going to get up and leave. There's some people, I hate to say it, but I'm just going to say it, there's some people you can't save. There's some people who just don't want to learn for whatever reason. And I think our job, like you said, is, for us, you know, we have to try to help people as much as we can. And if Tio Tomás or Tia, you know, Sofia, lo que sea, if they don't want to get on the train, then they stay at the station. That's how I see it. Like, okay, there's some people I'm not going to give up completely on, but at the same time, there's too many people that need to be educated. And I'm not saying that myself or yourself or even our generation has all the answers. Like, we don't have all the answers, but we can try. Like, we can try to make that change. And once we get that understanding, it's like, okay, some people will obviously get on board, but some will won't. I think a lot of times we tend to feel like just because maybe somebody didn't receive the message well, or we just didn't win over this person when it comes to changing their ideas. I mean, that's how things are. And we just have to, you know, we have to just cut our losses sometimes. And I know that sounds really tough, and that sounds like a little cold-hearted to say, but there are obviously millions and millions of people that need to be educated or re-educated when it comes to this, especially in nuestra cultura. You know, and we need to make an impact to even impact the entertainment industry. Because as we talked about, like, we need more, you call it darker skin or call it, you know, with African roots or whatever you want to call it, but we need more people, you know, whether it's our celebrities, and not that that's the most important things, because more important things are politicians, our community leaders, those are more important. But even something as insignificant that it can be as our entertainment industry, a lot of times it's not even reflected. And not even, not, I'm saying in the entertainment industry in the U.S., but even in nuestros países. Like, there's still a lot that needs to be done with it. And nobody is obviously born racist. Nobody's born racist. Like, I think we've all heard it. Nobody is born racist. And a lot of times I think for nuestra comunidad, the way I picked up some of these things or heard about, like, pelo malo, stuff like that, it wasn't necessarily from my mother or my grandmother like that. You just hear it. But we need to filter that out. Mm-hmm. Like, how we do that? By having, obviously, more of these conversations. But also for, like, you and I, obviously, we're not parents. Like, we're not parents. We're going to have kids. But for those that have kids, if you do hear somebody, another relative, like, say something like that, in whether it's your household or at a barbecue or whatever, show that example or be like, hey, tío, you know, let's say it's tío Tomás. Don't say that. You shouldn't say that. Because your kids are listening. Because mm-hmm. at least that's how I picked up that mejorar la raza, pelo malo, things like that. That my mom didn't sit me down and tell me that. Like, I heard it from other people, and I just picked it up, and I heard it so many times that part of me believed it. When I was little, like, part of me is like, oh, yeah, that must be right, because everybody else is saying it right. And it's terrible. And it's terrible because then you kind of, you're growing, and I'm not saying that you're growing into somebody who is racist or whatnot, but you do have those tendencies to think that at times, and you obviously shouldn't, but this is how this fire keeps going. Not that people are having classes, it's that kids are picking it up And if you're, even if you don't say it yourself, if somebody else says it, but it's in the proximity that you're there and your kid is there, he or she is picking it up, and they're just going to pick it up little by little. And if they hear it so, you know, long enough, by the time they're 18, they're going to think, you know what? I probably shouldn't date a black guy because quiero mejorar la raza. And that's terrible.
Yeah, I think, like, you hit it right there. Kids are listening. I think it's our, like you said, yeah, we're not parents, but it's almost like we have to, like, because I'm trying to think, like, if I was in that situation, I don't have kids, so I can't, right now I can't teach any, well, I mean, not directly, I guess, not my direct offspring, but we could teach our cousins, like, if we hear, like, Tio Tomás say it in front of his kids, like, maybe we could pull that kid aside and be like, hey, you know, first of all, your dad's racist, second of all, don't be racist, don't be like your dad, let me, like, kind of take them under our shoulder, take them by the hand and, like, guide them if we can. I mean, I know maybe we don't all have the same access, but we have to break these cycles of internalized racism within our own people, and maybe we don't do it with our own kids, but we do it with, or you call Tio Tomás out in front of his kid. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to stir up drama. Right. Or maybe I am. I don't know.
Hey, but if it's needed, I'm not like marching down and saying like, I love drama, but sometimes it reaches that point where it's like, you have to have that tough talk. And obviously the other person might be confrontational and say, you're calling me a racist. How dare you call me a racist? Blah, 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 blah. Or how dare you say that I have some sort of bias against people, and be like, yeah, that bias, it's called racism. But, yeah. But sometimes that's needed. That's needed, because if that's what it's going to take to break it, then so be it. And it's uncomfortable. I get it. There's, when you have talks with, you know, especially when it's older relatives, like you have confrontations. I only say this with some experience, not a lot. I don't like confrontations, but there's sometimes you get into a tough talk and it almost seems like you're being disrespectful, like to your elders. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to be disrespectful, but at the same time, you have to be an advocate for what is right.
Right.
Like, that's it, and what is right, and as much as you love your Tio Tomás or your Tia Sofia or whatever, they're wrong, and you have to do what you can to correct them. If they accept it, great. If they don't, it sucks. I don't know what else to say. And then you'd be like, okay, then I guess I'm going to teach, you know, their kid or whatever, just be like, hey, that's not, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't say that. Like, that's not funny. Like, saying that so-and-so, that's not funny. And keep, you know, just repeating it over and over, because there are some people, I hate this, there are some people who just aren't going to learn, don't want to learn.
And I want to add to that, I think that we should want, the whole disrespecting, I get it, we are also taught to respect our elders, especially our grandparents and people, yeah, our elders, anyone older than us, but we should want to be, like, disrespect, I think at this point, and I guess I'm not trying to ruffle feathers, completely, but like, we should care more about racism than respect, because I think racism is a form of disrespect, and so I think that should be important to us. And the reason that we are still where we are, like within our community, is because no one spoke up before, because we thought, like, I just don't want to ruffle feathers, right? I don't want to say anything racist. Like, it just keeps going and it keeps going, and some people are saved and they branch out from their family and they're able to talk to people and to meet people and to learn things, and some people don't, but because it stays within the family and no one says anything, it's passive, it's almost passive racism. It's almost worse to just sit there and laugh it off, or just to sit there and ignore it, because you don't want to be the one in the family who's the one, like, the one who's saying things, or, you know, I guess teaching people things. I also do want to mention, I think it's important to say that right now you and I are having this conversation, neither of us are black. We do not, at this moment, we're not having this conversation with a black person, because I think, and I think we still can in the future. That's something we've talked about colorism within the Latino community, yes. And we do want to do that. But I think right now, it's not the responsibility of black people to educate us and everyone around them about racism and about anti-blackness and about microaggressions. It's not on them right now. I think we need to be having these conversations when black people aren't around. I also want to talk about what's happening right now. So the protests that we have going on, in some places, riots, and the reaction to that. We've heard, I don't know if you have, but I've heard family members kind of say things along the lines of like, well, yes, that's upsetting with what happened, but they don't have to take it to that extreme, or they don't have to go that far, especially when we saw a lot of looting, making those remarks. I think, I don't want to get in anybody's head, but I think some people maybe meant well, but don't understand why those comments aren't for them to make, aren't for us to make, aren't for us to judge a movement that we haven't been as oppressed by. So I think that's also part of us educating people, like not just in general when someone says something racism, but about what's happening right now and telling them why this is happening, why we don't have the right to comment about how things are happening, and why we need to stand up and not let this continue. I think that's all, those are also important conversations to have right now with our family members. Like I have several family members in mind that I'm thinking of, like I haven't talked to them for a while. I haven't like, you know, interacted with them, but I'm thinking about calling them up and just like, you know, having a conversation. Like I think it's also, it goes beyond it coming up. And it also, I think, has to do with us reaching out and be like, hey, do you know what's happening? What are your thoughts on this? And why are those your thoughts on this? And let me tell you some things. Yeah. I just think right now is the, it's not the time for us to be passive. It's not the time for us to sit back.
It's not the time for us to think, well, we've seen this before. Well, that's part of the problem as well. Because I've heard certain people say like, oh, we saw this with 92. You know, when Ronnie came, oh, we saw this with here. We saw this with here. That doesn't make it, A, that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it fine that, okay, we saw this before. Like, you see a car accident once or twice, that doesn't make it right. Like, these are innocent people who are dying. And justice hasn't been served because the game is rigged. Let's just call it how it is. The game is rigged. And, you know, what do we do? Like, I think you had brought up a video about that, kind of mentioned about the game, like that the game is fixed. The game is rigged. So why are we playing the game? Like, and that's why you see a lot of these things out in the streets. They're tired of the game. They want a new game. You know, it's like if you are playing a board game, they want to knock over the board game and throw the pieces in the air.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time the board game is being played. Like, this has been happening for so long in different forms. And I think unless you are part of that group, I think a lot of people try to not see it or try to, like, think, or think they're okay because they're not actively on purposely oppressing other people. I think that that's something we also have to recognize when we talk about proximity to whiteness and proximity to blackness. We have to recognize that Latinos also benefit from white privilege. There are white Latinos. I am a white passing Latina and I benefit from white privilege. And I think a lot of people don't want to admit that because I think that they think that it might make them the bad guy to be like, well, I didn't choose this and I'm not doing anything to anybody. But you have to, all of us, we have to recognize that we, especially like us lighter skinned Latinos, we benefit from white privilege. So you have to recognize that, and then you have to actively work to help other communities, actively work to not keep oppressing other people. I think that's something that we really have to look in the face, and I think a lot of people don't want to admit that.
I think one saying that we need to, I hear it in the, I've heard it a lot in the past when it comes to issues, whether it's issues with white people, but I hear it more so with issues with black people, is eso es algo de ellos. Yep. Like, eso es algo de ellos. Like, that's just their thing, or whatever you want to translate it to, that's just their thing. It's not just the ellos. It's an all of us thing. It's not just, this is not just a black issue. This is not just, oh, well, we'll stay on the sideline just because, you know, we'll let them deal with it. No, it's not. Like, we've just been talking about for the past however many minutes. It's like, it happens in nuestra comunidad. It's like,
Even, we contribute to it.
Yeah, we contribute to it. We do it to our own culture. I was thinking about the other day, I'm like, so for all my life, I've always been called a negro out of the family, just because I am the kind of dark. There are some who are about as dark skinned as I am, but I'm definitely one of the darker ones, I guess, to an extent, because my brother's very fair skinned. My mom is kind of somewhere in the middle, but a little bit more fair skinned, I guess, to an extent. My father was a little bit more darker skinned, so he had pelo malo, if you will, quote unquote, or whatever ridiculousness you want to call it. Just because that's, you know, the part of his family roots in Ecuador or whatever. And so I was always called a negro. Like, thinking back at it, and forgive me if I'm being, like, just either I'm overthinking it or maybe I should be thinking about it more. I never saw it as my family was being racist towards me, necessarily. I didn't see it like that. But I guess you can make the argument. You could kind of make the argument, you know, because I wasn't treated any less. I'll say that. Like, it's not like I was treated like, go eat in your room while all of us in the dining room. Like, no, it was never nothing like that. But my brother was called by his name more than me, definitely. Like, ¿cómo está el negro? Like, they would ask my mom. That would be me. But ¿cómo está Joshua? That's my brother. Even things like that, looking back at it and thinking about it, there's definitely elements of racism there. Like, maybe they weren't generally hating on me. They weren't trying to, you know.
But would they make comments like things like would they ever comment about ponte bloqueador para que no te pongas más negro? Like, would they ever say things like that or insinuate things like that?
I hate to say it, but this is the truth. My mom, a few times when I was younger, did. You know, and I'll forgive her for that, you know, and yeah, because she's my mom, and I can, the mom, my mom of 1993 is much more different than my mom of, you know, 2020. But yeah, she would say that, like, she would, like, no te pongas, no quieres estar tanto, muy negro.
Yeah.
Ponte la crema, ponte aquí, yeah. Ponte en la cara, ponte así.
Because it's one thing to put on sunblock because, hello, skin cancer, melanoma, like, yeah. Of course we should all wear sunblock. But yeah. when you're actively trying to keep someone a certain color and keep them away from another color, then yeah, those are forms of anti-blackness within yeah. our own community, and you hear it so much and you see yeah. it so much, and it hasn't changed.
When let me ask you this, when you were younger and you would hear things like that, how did you react? Did you just react confused because you were, let's say you were like 8 or 9, because you were so young, you didn't understand it? Or like, for me, I could tell you, like, it started like adding up. Like, I've heard so many things like, okay, pelo malo means what's in my mind as a, you know, 8-year-old or 9-year-old, 10-year-old, that's what black people's hair have. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. That's the honest truth. It's wrong. But then again, that's what I was hearing, not necessarily from my mother, but from people around there. And even to an extent in a joking manner. But how did you react to when you would hear at times those little things? Because sometimes it's like almost trickling, a little bit like a faucet yeah. or something. It would trickle here and there. It wouldn't be, at least from what I would experience, blatantly open. It was just little comments like that, mejorar la raza and all these things like that. How would you react to that?
So pelo malo is a term that I never heard as a kid. I don't even know where I learned it. I think at some point as an adult, and I don't even remember where. So, and I'm trying to think, I know I've heard mejora la raza, so I'm trying to think how I reacted the first time. I guess I didn't understand what it meant. No one ever explained it to me. It was just kind of like a say it and then haha. And then until I was older, I don't even remember how I understood it, but that's when I kind of knew. And it felt uncomfortable. It didn't sit right with me. I didn't understand what that meant. Or like why that was being said, I guess, in those terms. As I got older, I wasn't just uncomfortable, like it made me angry. But I can't tell you that I like called it out every single time. Like that's, you know, I'm complicit in not speaking out enough to certain people.
Same.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are. And I think there's, you know, we may have called it out, but just like subtly, like just called it out or just said it like, don't say that. Like you just say, don't say that instead of like, hey, don't say that. I'm serious. Don't say that. This is why, like, yeah, like actively taking that. Like I never got into an argument with someone. Like I may have gone maybe a little bit back and forth and, you know, pushed back. I may have pushed back, but not enough. Like, right. I feel like there's so much more I could have done. There's so much more I'm sure we all could have done. And I hate that this, well, I don't know. I don't want to say that I hate because now we're having these conversations. I hate that it's taken us so long. I guess that's what it is. It's hate. And some people are having these conversations. I do want to say some people do actively call it out, but I don't think enough of us do.
Right. I think that, yeah, we, for whatever reason, we don't, but we should. And even if it's just one person that we kind of change a little bit of their mindset, even though I remember one of my family members, they would say, this is not more of a black, this is not for the Asian community. They would say, oriental, which is technically not the term. Mm-hmm. It's now more, it's asiático. Mm-hmm. That used to be, yeah. They would say oriental like that.
Well, so, yeah. I heard chino a lot.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate truth, like everybody's a chino.
Yeah.
To some people.
Yeah.
So, you know, but.
Which like those same people get upset if they get called Mexican.
Yeah.
And they're not Mexican. Like, hello, that's the exact same argument. But yeah. Like, just like do better, people. Like all of us just have to do better. Yeah. It sucks that it's gotten to this point. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's gotten to this point because we let it get to this point. We are complicit in white supremacy. A lot of us like just kind of let things slide by, whether or not you agreed with it or not. I'm not saying everyone's a bad person because we didn't do enough, but I'm saying we have to start doing enough. We have to start doing more. I saw something that someone was saying because of everything that's happening and a lot of people are like really actively speaking out. Some people are like, I'm just going to block all my family, all my racist family members. I'm going to block them all on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, I'm done with them. I'm done with these racist people that are in my family, whatever. I've heard people say that multiple times. But then I heard an argument that said that we shouldn't block our family members, because when you block somebody, you're protecting yourself. Like if you're gay and you have a family member who's making homophobic comments and saying awful things, and clearly it's about you or about you and your identity, then yeah, block them, because they are, you protect yourself. They are not for you, and they should not be in your life. But when we have family members who are saying things about the Black community or about Black Latinos, and we are not Black Latinos or Black, a part of the Black community, then what does blocking them do? That right. doesn't sound protecting us, because we are not Black. They're not talking about us. Like, in fact, we should just, like, we should call them out more. We should reach out. And I, you know what? Everyone's going to do whatever they want. And everyone's going to, you know, you have to do whatever is good for you. But also, yeah, if you block someone, who are you? What is that doing for you? Like, who are you really protecting, or what are you getting out of that, really? And what are you not doing enough? Like, I guess, what, like I said, do whatever you want, but I agree with that argument. Like, we're not actually doing anything by blocking our racist family members.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. It's, if we want to use some sort of, forgive me for a weird analogy, but, like, obviously these past few months we've been quarantining. When it comes to these conversations, we should not quarantine. Do not quarantine about these conversations. Go out. Go talk to any, whatever it is, your brother, your mother, your father, whoever it is, or even that tia that you think might have a little bit of racism in her. Or whatnot. Maybe it's not you think. Maybe she just is. You just need to call a spade a spade. You just call it is what it is. That doesn't mean that you should give up on her, but try. You have to try. You have to open up that conversation. And it takes time, and it is uncomfortable, especially, you know, some people make the argument, well, it's the language barrier. Well, it's, you know, it's part of the culture. They grew up like this in insert country here. It's like, that doesn't make it right.
Yeah, and that's being lazy. That's a cop out.
Yeah.
Okay, language barrier. Like, look stuff up. Like, you know, we have technology at our fingertips, and when we are interested in something, you know how much of a deep dive in Google you can do. Like, when I want to buy something, do you know how many reviews I look at? Do you know how many, like, other, like, price comparisons? When I'm interested in something, yeah, I go hard. This is something.
Can I do, like, that with this mic?
Yeah, like, that's just it, though. Like, you go hard for something you're interested in. Like, sometimes I will sit there and I will Google and I will go into something, and it'll be some time. Like, or, you know, you go read books or you watch movies. When you are interested in something, you go hard for it. This is something that we should go hard for. We should not, don't think about a language barrier. Google Translate, like, or get a translator, get a family member that does. If you don't speak the language that they speak as well, get a family member that does and sit down and try. I think that is what we need to do. We need to try. Don't find excuses. Like, be uncomfortable. Like, this is uncomfortable, but we are just talking about it. We're not living it. So how are we okay that other people are living it with it? Because we can't have an uncomfortable conversation with our family members, with our friends, with our other community members. That's a cop out.
You know, I've one thing that I must admit, and I hate admitting it just because it just makes me sound like a terrible person, and I like to think that I'm not. It feels like I've become numb to these videos of police violence. I think for a lot of us, we probably feel the same way. But something about this video, when the video that showed Mr. Floyd and the police officer, when he started crying out for his mom, it made me cry. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit it. It made me cry right here in my living room, because I'm a self-admitted mama's boy. Like, I love my mom and she means everything to me. And just the thought of his last words being that he's asking for his mom, or he's doing that, just got to me. And it just made me feel so, not necessarily just angry, but just, you know, sad for people who I'm sure I'll never meet, these people who knew him. But it made me feel sad for them that they're not going to have this person anymore. And this, obviously, a lot of people felt the same way. They felt the same way. They were angry. They were sad. They were just hurt by what they saw, outraged. But one thing I don't want to see is, nobody should ever experience that ever again. But this outrage that we're feeling right now, like, we have to carry this on. I think even from when we saw the video from Patriot Act, like, we saw Hassan. If you've seen the video, for any of you listening, you know, it's on YouTube. He's very passionate about it, and, you know, I believe him. This is not a front. Like, he's definitely passionate about it. And, you know, as the protests continue going on, I'm sure at some point things will more likely just begin to fade back a little bit. Maybe even before a trial will start, or before legal proceedings start with the police officers. But we just can't lose this passion. We can't lose this anger. And I hate to be somebody that say we should inflame anger, but we need to channel it in a certain way. I don't support, you know, people breaking into other people's businesses. I'm not. Like, looting and things like that, like, no. I understand the anger, but it is sad to see some people, their businesses go away. But we can't lose this passion to see not just the justice to these police officers, because it's beyond the police officers. It's more than just these four people. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than that. And I just hope that the passion that we all have right now, that this continues on in even just 1 month or 2 months and et cetera, as it continues on. Even if these four officers, you know, hopefully are sent away for the crime that they committed, it can't stop after that. Well, they went to prison. And that's it.
And justice was served.
Yeah, it's just, No. And so I don't know about you, but that's something that I am personally telling myself, not just every day, but I'm committing to, like, okay, this isn't going away. This is not after these four men are locked up, that it's over. We've resolved it. Let's all get back to whatever the normal is. Like, no, like, because it's not going to go away, because unfortunately there might be another circumstance, and it might not be an African-American who is involved in it. Could be an Asian, could be a Latino, could be like that. And I mean, obviously, unfortunately, it seems like it happens more with the African-American community, but our passion needs to continue on there. And that's the one thing for me that I'm hoping that this passion continues on, because we've seen this so many times with other cases, and that's terrible to say, but it kind of flickers out. It kind of flickers out, and these people, unfortunately, these family members of these people don't get justice. And it seems like, oh, well, we tried our best. Like, did we try our best? I don't know. I don't think so. But this is my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think I know. I agree with you. On point. I think, yeah, we absolutely cannot let this be the end. Even if justice is served in this case, we have to think of all the other cases that have happened. I mean, there's certain names that we know. We know George Floyd. We know Breonna Taylor. We know Ahmaud Arbery. We know Freddie Gray, Alton Sterling, Oscar Grant. Like, there's a lot of names that we know. Yeah, some of them have been killed by police officers, and some of them have been killed by white people. These are names we know. Think of all the names that we don't know. And then when we think about, like, yeah, the video for George Floyd, I admit I haven't watched the entire thing. I don't know if I can, to be honest. And I think there was this quote that I saw somewhere, and it says, like, what's happening now, like, with, you know, the officers being arrested and charged, it's not because they saw the video, it's because we saw the video. And then people reacted to that, and they were outraged, and they marched, and they looted and rioted, some, you know, some for other reasons and so on. But think of all the videos that don't exist. Like, think of the people who died, and we don't know about because there was no video or there's no proof. Like, just think about that. That is something that we have to remember, and that is something that we have to pass on to people who are kind of pushing back on this movement, or pushing back on that racism isn't real, or that it doesn't exist, or that they are not racist, or that anti-blackness isn't a thing, and we're all created equal, and we shouldn't see color, and that all lives matter. Like, that is what that those are things that we need to keep educating people around us about. I think we're privileged in the sense that we have access to this information, especially on social media right now, and not everybody else has been as privileged as us, people in our family, older people. And so we have to be the reason. We have to explain this movement to them. We have to explain that this isn't just because of George Floyd. He is the catalyst for this movement, but this has been happening for years and years, and in different forms, police, not police, so many different things. And we have to be aware of that. We have to tell the people around us about that. Like, this is not something that we can just stop caring about. And when you mentioned going back to normal, like, normal for you and I, or for other people who are, like, you know, wanting to things go back to normal, think of normal for Black people. Why should we go back to what's normal for Black people? We shouldn't. We should want to change the system and change, like, humanity within us. We should want to change the way our communities speak about these things and think about these things. Especially, like, something I keep thinking about is Latinos who are anti-Black, or, you know, just straight-out racist, but they like Black culture.
Yeah.
Like, you benefit off of Black, and this isn't just Latinos, you know, I know right now we're talking about our community, but, like, people who benefit off of Black culture, people who love Black culture but don't care enough about Black lives, like, call those people out, too. Especially, I mean, things like reggaeton, Latino trap, like, if you're into that, like, you like Black culture, like, a lot of that, and that's just the stuff I'm naming right now. There's so much that comes from Black culture that we love and that we like and whatever, but we don't want to care for Black lives. Like, what is that?
Right. It reminds me of what Hassan said, because he was talking about how we care about seeing people, like, we support Obama or we support Beyonce or Jay-Z. I think he also mentioned about even Michael Jordan. And I'm one of those people in the sense of, like, I love Michael Jordan. Like, he's one of my heroes and whatnot, you know, but there's some people who will love Michael Jordan, But then maybe they don't care about they don't care about how for the black, you know, not necessarily just the black person in general, how to help support them and how to move things forward for them.
Right.
Instead of just like, oh, we're just supported from the sideline, or we'll support from here. It's like, we do have to go all in. We just can't be like, okay, we'll just support part of it here. And then for some people, like, oh, yeah, but I don't want them either in my family, or I don't want to deal with them at work, or I don't want them as my neighbor, or whatever things that people say. And I say things replacing another word. But because it's just so ridiculous, and we as Latinos, like you said, even from the top, we may not think that, oh, no, we're just not racist. We're just this. We just like to joke, or we just like to do this, or, you know, in Ecuador, it's like this, or in Peru, it's like this. Yeah, that like this is racism. And maybe somebody didn't call it out back in whatever year it was, but it's racism, and it's always been racism, and it's still racism, and it's still going on. And, you know, and if you don't think it's going on, something as simple as even just check out a tweet from some, you know, if it's a Latino, an Afro-Latino athlete, about when they say something, there's always one, and I hate to say it because I'm such a huge sports fan, but I have noticed it before. There's always at least one tweet that has somewhat, either it's a flat-out racist thing that they reply back, or something that is kind of like that hidden racism, and it's unfortunate. And maybe white athletes get hate as well. Maybe they do.
But not because of the color of their skin.
Exactly.
And that's another thing we have to explain to our community, the people who don't understand. It doesn't mean our lives aren't difficult, and it doesn't mean, I think this is what I've learned with white privilege, like, it doesn't mean that your life wasn't hard because you benefited from white privilege. It just means that your life wasn't hard because of the color of your skin. That's not one of the factors that contributed. There's different forms of privilege. Like I said, we are privileged enough to have the access to information that we have. That is just one form of privilege. But people who are attacked for things, or people who are treated a certain way, you have to know, like, is it because of the color of skin? And you know what? For some Latinos, it is, because some Latinos are darker. But that is the thing. Like, we have to be able to recognize that. And we can't treat people bad because of the color of their skin. And it's not enough to not be racist anymore. We have to be actively, every single day, every single conversation, every single encounter that we have to be actively anti-racist. This is, like, what is happening right now, like, this year has been so crazy, I can't even think, like, about the future, but this is history. This is history in the making, and you have to ask yourself, what side of history do you want to be on? When you have to tell your kids what happened, and your kids ask you, well, what did you do? What are you going to tell them?
It has to be more than that black square emoji.
Yeah, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to take action after that. I saw some people post it, and I saw some people, like, you know, I know that this person is doing stuff. I know this person is calling things out. I know this is a good person or whatever. There are some people that I think they just jumped on the bandwagon so they don't look racist. That is just them saying, like, I am not racist. But we have to do more than that. We can't accept that as a thing and let life go on. Like, for some people, life doesn't get to go on, and we have to, like, we can't be okay with that anymore.
Yeah, we can't be okay with the idea of, like, oh no, I'm woke, like, I have this, or I know this. It's like, if you say that, oh, I'm woke because I put the square there, or because, yeah, like, I even marched when, like, okay, it's nice that you put the black square on your Instagram, and it's nice that you went to the protest or whatnot, but at least for me, the way I see it, maybe I'm just being overly critical, it just has to be beyond that. All right, I want to see some random Tuesday in November, or even December, or even January of next year, when we finally, hopefully, will be able to all gather in masses much more, I want to see people out there. I don't want to see this all, it kind of faded out at the end of June. Like, then what's the whole point? Maybe we'll have a little bit of a rally when a jury comes in, or when they convict, you know, these police officers. Okay, that a little momentum, and then it kind of fades out. For me, what makes me more mad is, this is why the momentum that unfortunately has to start when, unfortunately, one of these black men die, it fades out, and we're just a lot, well, maybe not, I shouldn't say we, a good amount of people are a lot of talk. And maybe I've been part of that before in the past as well, because, as I mentioned before, I think I've gotten numb to those videos, but not anymore. It can't be anymore. This has to stop right now. What better opportunity than now? And if we fail, God bless this country and God help this country, because it's going to be really bad. And I hate the idea that we would have to see another tragedy like this just to restart the whole conversation again.
No, we shouldn't have to restart the conversation, because the conversation should not stop. I also want to say that we are not the only podcast that's having this conversation. We're also two different people with two different perspectives. And so there's stuff that we could have left out of the conversation, stuff that we may have missed. So I do encourage anyone who's listening to check out other podcasts that are talking about this, or even follow social media accounts that are talking about this and like addressing this issue, or even just talk to other people and have this conversation, not just with the people that need to hear it, or friends and family, but just other people who can offer a different perspective. And this is a conversation that we need to continue. So I think we all need to do our research, find out more about it, find out about this history, find out about how it's affecting people, and just like really, really do the work. We're not saying that all of us are bad and that there's no hope for us. I'm just saying that I think we need to do better, and we need to hold each other accountable, and we need to hold our friends and family accountable too.
Well, that was our episode. We want to thank you for listening in. I know this is some of the time that could be seen as taboo, some of these things, but as Yvette mentioned earlier, it's important to have these conversations. We all need to have these conversations and continue having them. This can't be just a 2-week thing or a 3-week thing or a 6-month thing. This has to be a forever thing. This has to be, we have to continue talking these conversations and have this going on. I did want to take, before saying goodbye, just thank you to the listeners. And we both want to say thank you, just because obviously these past few months have been a lot, and we've been away. And I know we've been thinking about, you know, when do we come back? When can we get back to things? It takes time. Like, I know things seem crazy right now. Things are very much upside down, and not just because of COVID-19. A lot of other things as well. Politics, obviously, everything that we had just mentioned earlier in our episode, etc. But one of the most important things we have to continue is to listen to each other, help each other, because right now, we need that more than ever. We need that more than ever. We need understanding more than ever. So there's some people who are not going to be understanding for whatever reason. That's unfortunate, but that shouldn't discourage us from not trying and not reaching out and not helping, whether it's something with health, something to do with issues of culture or of race or politics. Don't be discouraged. Continue moving forward. And for us here at Cafecito, we're going to continue doing our thing here. We're going to continue talking about these topics because we need to, because we want that conversation to keep going. And if we contribute a small way, then we will do that. So once again, thank you for listening in. It's great to be back. I know, Yvette, it's obviously great to be back with you and doing another episode. And here's to marching forward. A lot of things are still uncertain, whether it's COVID, whether it's everything that we had just talked about, but that's our only option, is to move forward. We can't just sit back and be on the sideline. We have to move forward, right?
Yeah. If you're not already, make sure you follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at KSL Cafecito, on Facebook, KSL Cafecito, and on Instagram now at KSL Cafecito. And if you want to follow us individually, I'm at Evie Cruz.
And I'm at Chuel Cadenas.
Thanks for listening.